You might open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 is the text we're going to read in just a moment. Excuse me. So good to see everybody today. We really have more than I thought we would have with the weather being icy the way it is outside, but I'm so grateful to see you. And every time I see you, I'm thankful that even though we're not where we want to be, we're able to come together to some capacity right now. And I'm highly anticipating the time, hopefully, in the nearer future than we had imagined before, that we'll be back together as a church. For those of you who are watching live stream, many of our family members, thank you for being here with us today. And for those of you who are visiting with us, thank you for being here today. The Jewish rabbis enumerated 613 laws in the Old Testament. And in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest law? To which Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. That doesn't mean the other laws were important, but when you look at the law that encapsulates all of them, it is to love God. We've been spending a lot of time, at least I have in my sermons with you, spending a lot of time over the last really 2 months looking at the idea of what does it mean to love God? And how can we love God more? Because I put forward to you, one of the reasons why we struggle with sin, if we're honest, is because we don't love God enough. And if I can think about loving God and try to figure out how to love Him more, so many things will fall into the right place within my life. We're going to continue that this morning by looking at God through sacrificing. If someone were to tell you, I will give you $5 million if you'll let me cut off your little toe. How many of you do that? I didn't know if I'd ask for hands because some people go, oh, it's money. I don't want to raise my hand. But look, the reality is most of us probably for our little toe, and we'll say it's after taxes, $5 million for your little toe. Okay. How about both little toes? How many of you still be in? I'd probably still be in. How about your little finger? Okay. Little finger. I mean, well, Alex is going no, but many of us would say, you know, I can do without the little finger. What about your arm? It's a little different now, isn't it? Now we're slowing down. What about your eyes? What about your hair? I gave mine away for free, by the way. What about your leg? You see, when it comes to sacrificing things, we've got this sliding scale where we start evaluating, is what I believe I'm going to get worth what I'm going to give up? Okay? And we go through that process all the time. So with that in mind, my question is, what are you willing to give up because of your love for God? Now, the answer of the Apostle Paul was this. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ, be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. So Paul was able to say, when it comes to comparing anything to what I gain in Christ, Paul said, this is not even a contest. I'll give up anything. I will sacrifice anything to have God within my life. I read that statement of Paul probably like you, and I find it a staggering statement. And it's one that when I read it, I have to do a lot of soul searching. Because as I think about loving God more, I've got to evaluate how much I'm willing to sacrifice for God. I want to talk with you about that this morning. Loving God more through sacrifice. Because that's what God calls us to be.
living sacrifices. The Jews understood what sacrifices were all about. God had always expected those who loved him to show their appreciation. You think, well, that's somewhat narcissistic of God. I want you to come sacrifice before me. But look, in loving relationships, we expect this to be a two-way process, right? And we expect both sides to sacrifice. And God, especially as we know the story of Jesus Christ, has sacrificed more than we can ever imagine, as Josh just reminded us of. So it's not untoward for God to say, I want you to show me that you love me. And that was expressed in sacrifices. So Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel offered sacrifices. Exodus chapter 12, a sacrifice was made when the Israelites were in the land of Egypt. The whole Levitical sacrificial system was put in place in Leviticus and Numbers. And then, of course, Jesus, John chapter 1, verse 29, the Lamb of God, who God has given for the world. Okay, so Jews and Gentiles, very familiar with what sacrifices were all about. And the Apostle Paul calls upon us as Christians to be people who are living sacrifices for him. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I want you to look at that phrase. We are to be living sacrifices, you and me. This brings us into our lives. And that we are to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, you think about this for a moment. In Paul's language here, the body represents the totality of who you are. You think about what Jesus said in Matthew 22. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. It's the totality. Jesus divides it up. Paul just says the body. But they're both saying the same thing. When it comes to loving God, God expects us to give our bodies as a sacrifice to Him. That's tough. And everything that goes along with this. D.L. Moody, the 19th century preacher, said, the problem with the living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar. We can identify with that, right? How many times we find ourselves crawling off of the altar? It's not that we want to get off, but sin leads us off. So, practically, how do we live this way? And I want to suggest two things in our life that we need to sacrifice. The first one is, and these are both big, by the way, I need to sacrifice my will for God. I've got to sacrifice my will, my desires, my way. We all want our way, right? We all want things our way. The very first sin came about because Adam and Eve wanted it their way. And we are primed in our society to seek our own interests. And everybody screams, do what you want to do. And Scripture comes along and says, no, if you're going to be a Christian, you got to sacrifice your will for God's. Christ modeled this, of course. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, verse 42, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Everything about the life of Jesus was geared towards doing his Father's will. Why? Because he loved him and he's willing to sacrifice. Verse 42, again, we find, my Father, if this cannot pass from me, let your will be done. You say, well, that's Jesus, right? Jesus can do that. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, in the model prayer, told us to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. That has to be viewed in contrast to my will and your will. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's that sacrificing of the will. And the life now that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not about me anymore at all. It is all about Christ within my life, Paul said. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. It is not about what we want. It is not about what we desire. When we live our lives as a Christian, we're sacrificing our own will for God. And the great words of Jesus in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, where Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What is the cross? The cross was the instrument of suffering and it was the instrument of sacrifice. And Jesus calls upon us to take that up within our lives, to live for God every day of our life, to sacrifice for God every day of our life. That means I am surrendering all my personal hopes, all my personal plans, all my personal desires, and we all know how difficult that is. It's all sacrifice for God. That my purpose in life is not to enjoy life. It's okay if you enjoy life. That's not your purpose. Your purpose in life is not to experience life and travel around the world, though you can do that to some degree. That's not your purpose. Your purpose in life is not to explore your sexuality, though there is a place for that in marriage. That is not your purpose. Your purpose in life is not even to get married and have kids, though there is a place for that. Your purpose and my purpose as Christians is to follow Christ. And that's going to come in contrary to my will sometimes. And one of them's going to win and one of them's going to lose. And as a Christian, God calls upon me to sacrifice my will for Him. That's what you committed to. Are you going to sacrifice that? Am I going to sacrifice that? Do you love God the way you should? We got to sacrifice our will. The second thing we need to sacrifice is our sin. And that's closely connected. Sin comes from our willful heart. Okay? Sin is when I say this is what I need to do and this is what I want to do. And now I've got to make a decision. Who's going to win? If you bring the will into place, then you've already made a huge step towards overcoming this part. But I've got to look at these two together with one another. Sin is alluring. It's captivating. We all know this, right? The only reason why we sin is because there's something about it that appeals to us. And sometimes it seems so right. It seems so natural. The Scripture is clear about this. Scripture tells us that sin is wrong. Okay? It is wrong. James in James chapter 4 verse 16 said, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." Okay? And John tells us sin is transgression of the law. When I know what God expects out of me and I decide I will not do it, I will not submit my will, and I do it, I have sinned against the Lord. And here's another reality. You and I cannot live a life of sin and expect to be with God. That does not go together. I can't walk my own willful walk and walk with God at the same time. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked. Okay? When I'm not living the way I should, I'm not with God. You can come to services all you want. Okay? You can say as many prayers as you want to pray. You can read Scripture as much as you want to read it. If it's not sinking in, if we're not doing it, then we are sinning. We're not with God, and there is a price, a heavy price that will be paid one day. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his own soul?" I mean, just think about this for a moment. Okay, let's say that there's a particular sin that you're tempted with, or just multiple sins, and you're starting, I'm just going to give up, you know? I'm tired of fighting it. Let's say you're 20, 30 years old, and you're going to live to be 80. You're going to struggle for 60 years if you do this. Bring your will and submission to God. 60 years. That's a long time, right? Not in comparison to eternity. And you got to think about it like that. Okay? In fact, it's really very foolish for me to say, "Oh, I'm done. You know, I don't want to love my wife. I don't want to love my husband. I don't want to do whatever God tells me to do. And I'm going to find my peace here." Only to be lost for all eternity. So what God says is He wants us to be people who identify what our sin is and begin to lay it on the altar before Him and say, "I'm giving this up for you." Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Paul really addresses, and Paul gets very specific in this text as to the things that we've got to get rid of within our life. If you notice, beginning in verse 5, "Put to death, therefore," Colossians 3 verse 5, "what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Paul said, you got to sacrifice it. Whatever it is. And that's what God calls upon us to do. Sacrifice your sin. Bring your will in submission to God because you love Him. And sacrifice sin within your life because you love Him. Well, that's hard, isn't it? That's a challenge even for people who want to do it. So let's close with this. Why do I do this? I find a lot of times the sermons that I preach, this is sort of a logical way to end the lesson because there are admonitions that are sometimes contrary to our flesh and our culture. And we need to be thinking, why would I do something like this? No one's telling me to do this except God. Why? Two things, very quickly. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning of verse 14. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. The only way you and I can ever really find peace, lasting peace, is when we submit to God and we do the hard things necessary. And that's the way it is when we do something really difficult. It's hard, it's arduous, but when we get finished, there is that sense of accomplishment. And we've done something that is worthwhile. And when I resist my sin and sacrifice my sin as a child of God, as difficult as it is, at the end, before God, I can say, I've done what you asked me to do. And when I failed, I fell on your mercies and grace, and you were there for me. And as difficult as it is, as we live when we know we're doing right, the more you love God, the more peace you have. Peace within your heart. And the second goes back to Romans chapter 12 as we began the lesson, and that is, we give all these things up because God's mercies are great. Again, Romans 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. The whole book of Romans is about God's mercy. We're all sinners, Jews and Gentiles alike. We are all people who are lost to hell, but God intervened and gave us an opportunity to have faith through Jesus Christ. We can have our sins washed away. And the more you grow in love toward God, the more you think about what God has done for you, and how overwhelmingly blessed we are by God, the easier it is to start saying, yeah, I'll give this up. So I close with this. This morning, you are sacrificing something to someone. You are either sacrificing your sin and your will to God, or you're sacrificing God for your will and your sin. So I want you to think about that. So we stand and sing in just a moment. Evaluate where you're at. Think about your love for the Lord. If you need to become a child of God, we can help you this morning. If you want to study some more, we can help you there. If you're a child of God, you need prayers, you need encouragement, we'll help you in any way that we can. Think about that while we stand and sing with one another.